Modern medicine is all about the body. Wounds are healed, diseases are treated, and cures are the goal. But what about when the mind and the body work together in ways we still don't fully understand? How do you recover from a mental illness? We asked a few people in Medford how they're recovering.
Prayer. The power of prayer.
Friendship. Love.
Knitting. I knit literally all the time.
Meditation and mindfulness walks.
Add medication to that list that comes from Billy, Robert, Trinidad, and Linda. They're all adults diagnosed with a serious mental illness. Another Linda in Medford says even finding treatment was a long road, while taking advantage of it took even longer.
It took my counselor months to get me to take DBT, which was very helpful in the long run.
DBT is not a pill. It's dialectical behavioral therapy, and we're going to talk more about how it's used to treat people with mental illnesses. Claudia Stevens is a licensed clinical social worker from the Southern Oregon DBT Center. Welcome, Claudia.
Hi, nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. Also back with us in the studio are Bryce Harding and Elizabeth Hazelwood from the Southern Oregon Compass House. It's a resource for adults with mental disabilities and illnesses. Hi, Bryce. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And Elizabeth, thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's always nice to be here.
So, Bryce, you sat down with members of the Compass House recently, and we just heard a bit from those interviews. Linda, with an I, was diagnosed in 2006.
PTSD, manic depression, anxiety, and I used to do suicide by the means of cutting. And all I just wanted to do is sleep and not go into stores until it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I could not handle the stress. Anxiety was just a big issue. Being around people in general was an issue.
Linda says that dialectical behavioral therapy, or DBT, helped her a lot in the last year. Claudia Stevens with Southern Oregon DBT Center, could you tell us a bit how DBT is typically structured?
Certainly. So dialectical behavior therapy was created in the late 80s, taking the most evidence-based effective treatments that were available and bringing them together. And a dialectic is two things that are opposites and are both true. The treatment that is structured around a primary dialectic of acceptance of people as they are, while at the same time pushing for change in the behaviors and responses to the environment that they want to change.
How do you even begin that? I mean, I imagine a lot of people who come to it have been told that they need to change or they have behavioral issues that they want to modify.
To access the program for I know the county has a program, we have a program, calling our access number is how people begin. Often they've heard about it either through friends who have participated or getting online and hearing about the approach. And because it's effective, there's often a long time to get in, which is one of the downsides. But at this point, I know that that we're working hard to have enough capacity for people to access the program because it is so effective.
And Elizabeth Hazelwood, Executive Director of Compass House, this idea of a dialectic where things are opposite but both true, how do you balance that idea at the Compass House where you have compassion for members, but you also have expectations of how people need to act in order to be part of the clubhouse model?
It's always a challenge. Part of what we focus on is it's called the work order day. So we mirror the behavior that's appropriate in a work environment, and we lead by working together as an example. And if somebody is doing something that isn't quite appropriate for that work environment, we have that discussion. We say, you know, this is something that could affect you if you want to go back to work, and this is how it can. And it's not always that simple, but over time and side-by-side work, things tend to step up and change a little because people want to innately fit in and be part of a group. Also, I want to say a lot of our members have gone through DBT very successfully and speak very, very highly of the program.
And Claudia, you mentioned DBT. It's responsive to results, or it's results-based. What does that mean with a mental therapy like that?
So what I'm speaking to there is the research. There's a lot of treatments out there, and you know, this one shows the best results for a lot of conditions over time, and those conditions include things like personality disorders, but also depression, post-traumatic stress, anxiety conditions. Addiction, actually, it's 70% effective for addiction disorders. And having worked in the field of alcohol and addiction recovery, there's no treatments that are currently in the evidence-based mandate in Oregon that have that kind of efficacy.
Mm. And several of the members we heard from at the Compass House, Southern Oregon Compass House, talked about how addiction or other issues pair with their mental health diagnoses. Bryce, you talked with another Linda. This one, we heard from Linda with an I. Now we're going to hear from Linda with a Y in Medford. She was diagnosed with a mental illness about 10 years ago, and she says she's also recovering from addictions to cocaine and methamphetamines.
Just in Medford alone, there are several addiction recovery centers, or there's tons of AA meetings, NA meetings, all kinds of tools to help you recover from a socially acceptable illness. Mental illness is not a socially acceptable illness. So the recovery from mental illness is definitely harder.
So responses to that, should we be talking about recovery from mental illnesses in the way that we talk about recovery from drugs and alcohol?
In our program, we have helped people achieve recovery from things that previously were thought to be permanent, lifelong problems. So I think that's really the value in any evidence-based treatment, is that people can get to, you know, recovery or remission. Sometimes people talk about remission, but we're really talking about the same thing.
And is recovery different than being cured?
I think treatments can be curative. And I think, you know, speaking from a perspective of DBT, DBT is definitely has research shows that it is curative. So,
if you're just joining us and you're listening to Claudia Stevens, she's a counselor at the Southern Oregon DBT Center. She joins us with staffers from the Southern Oregon Compass House, Bryce Harding, and the director there, Elizabeth Hazelwood. This continues our series, Compass Radio. It's co-produced by the staff and members of the Compass House, all adults who have a diagnosed mental illness. You can join our discussion here today about recovery, 800-838-3760, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. We just heard from Linda about how, for her, recovery from her mental illness is so much harder than the steps that she would take to deal with addiction to cocaine and meth. Linda also talks about her family. She says her mother didn't support the idea that mental illness should require medication, that it was a physical thing that could be treated with medication. And she wanted her daughter to get well. She thought that if she just wanted it bad enough, she could do it.
A lot of my church friends, even today, don't understand mental illness, and I don't mean to take anything away from prayer because I'm a firm believer in prayer, but there are some times that prayer is just not enough. I mean, you wouldn't stop seeing a doctor if you had a cancer disease, or, you know, so what is the difference if you're seeking help for a mental disease?
That's Linda in Medford. Claudia Stevens from Southern Oregon DBD, do you encounter attitudes like the one Linda describes in her mother for people with mental illnesses?
Very much so. Many folks that experience the symptoms of mental illness struggle because their environment is so invalidating of them and their experience. Even when people are very well-meaning, saying something to someone like, oh, it's not that bad, or just, you know, smile and get through your day, turns out to be very invalidating for people that are struggling just to get through the day.
Can you tell us some examples of responses that wouldn't be invalidating? How do we begin our sentences if someone is confiding in us about a mental health crisis?
Great question. It's really about speaking to the valid parts and finding a way to acknowledge that if someone's saying, I'm really sad, that it makes sense to be sad given X and Y that have happened in your life. That's a validating response. So things like it makes sense, it's understandable. Anyone that's struggling with that would experience that as a hardship.
I understand how you feel that way.
Yeah, generally. That's.
Anything to add, staffers from the Compass House, you work with people on a daily basis who are trying to lead their lives with a diagnosis.
In interviewing Linda, one thing that really struck me was how she did mention how addiction to drugs or alcohol are more socially acceptable than a mental illness. And I think all of us are pretty aware that We are not very tolerant of people who have drug or alcohol addictions anyways. And for someone who has experienced both mental health issues as well as drug addiction to feel like her mental health diagnoses were more stigmatizing than her drug addiction really speaks to the state of how people are perceived with a mental illness. I think we see it as a moral failing more than a biological issue or the result of negative experiences. There's a lot of both. We have many members with PTSD who are significantly affected by events in their lives and the way they feel about their symptoms and how they're feeling is that it's almost a moral failing because that's how they've been perceived and how members of society have told them. Yeah.
And Elizabeth Hazelwood, also with the Compass House, do you work with friends and family members of people very often?
Well, what we do is we focus on the member, but in that program, we go through and we meet a lot of people's family and a lot of people's support networks. We have holidays where we invite people's friends and families in and to make it a more normalized environment for the family so that people start to realize that, you know, it's not necessarily a stigmatizing thing, that people are still people. They still have names. They still have jobs. They still have goals. They still have lives. And that's the thing is that we need to change the conversation. Linda had it exactly right. When it talks about it shouldn't be treated any differently than a medical condition, that's exactly correct. And we need to normalize it and make that happen.
What about resources for treating these conditions? Linda, in other parts of her interview, she raises issues about access to treatment, to support networks. She's uninsured, and she said she's had a lot of trouble in the past. Compass House is helping her a lot, she says. But what are the options in our region for people without insurance or with very minimal health insurance?
I think the Affordable Care Act has helped a lot of people get more access, and I also think that there are specific programs I know that do have low cost. In Ashland, there's the community counseling center over near Morton Street, and they offer very low cost treatment by therapists of quality. So, and I know our program does pro bono, in cases as well. So,
yeah, could you tell us more about the footprint of the Southern Oregon DBT Center? You're based in Ashland.
We are a collective of independent practitioners. I started doing DBT in private practice a decade ago, and because of the nature of the work, it's a very intensive approach. It's a team sport, I like to say. We're a community of therapists helping a community of clients. So we have therapists in Ashland and Medford, and people are able to be seen in the communities they live in as much as possible.
And Elizabeth, does the Compass House refer people to treatments, or how can you help connect those who walk through your doors with other services they might need?
Our best referral sources are our members. A lot of times, because of necessity, people have figured out what works, ways to get treatments with no income or no insurance. So although staff have basic understanding of resources, our members are invaluable in that, and sitting down side by side and making them work together as a team, that's the experts.
Speaking of the experts, a big part of this segment called Compass Radio, where we talk not just about people with mental illnesses, but we actually hear from them and listen to what they have to say. Bryce Harding from the Compass House, you interviewed about half a dozen people. Let's give them what's going to be close to our final word here, talking about what recovery means to them.
By no means am I recovered from mental illness. It's something that's with you forever. I look at it this way. Do we know what normal is?
Right now, I'm struggling. I'm 56 years old, and I was 7 1/2 when I was diagnosed. I've been struggling every day.
You got to make life changes. And if you don't make those life changes, you ain't going to change.
I read my Bible every day, and I pray every day, and that seems to help me more than the medication.
You're never cured, but there comes a point in time where, you do recover to the point where you can live your life and live it happily.
That was Linda with an I at the end there. We also heard from Billy, Linda with a Y, Robert, and Trinidad, all members of the Southern Oregon Compass House, all adults with diagnosed mental illnesses. Claudia Stevens, a counselor at Southern Oregon DBT Center, when you hear that kind of waterfall of people's experiences, do you have any reaction to that?
The person that said that you learn how to live your life even with the pain and suffering, that is really the essence of effective mental health treatment.
Where you accept people and yet you still work towards something better or some kind of peace with yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Hazelwood, we've just got a couple of minutes left here. On this topic of recovery, it's a difficult one to parse out in a 17-minute interview, but do you have any final thoughts for us?
I think that recovery is a beautiful and wonderful journey that is very individualized, and what one person can achieve is completely different than what another person can, and all sorts of different resources in the community come together to make that happen and to make the best recovery possible for each individual.
Mm-hmm. And Bryce Harding, anything that surprised you in conducting about half a dozen interviews with Compass House members about where they are in their recovery?
I don't know if I was surprised, but one thing I did notice was that the things people talked about weren't necessarily the therapies or the medications. It was just the daily activities of life, mm-hmm. and getting involved in those again and having things you're working towards seem to be what really helped people towards their recovery.
Yeah,
I like to think that it really is about having a life worth living, and that's exactly what you're speaking to, Bryce.
And having hobbies. Trinidad said he knits hats. He calls them his compassion hats. Billy talks about faith a lot. Whatever the tools are, we're glad to hear people doing better after lifetime struggles and struggles that will continue. Thank you so much to the members of Compass House for participating and to the staffers who joined us today to share their stories. Bryce Harding, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Elizabeth Hazelwood.
Thank you.
And Claudia Stevens, your first time with us on Compass Radio. Thanks so much for being here.
It's been my pleasure.